Good morning and welcome to Mornings with a Stranger. Thank you so much for joining. This is episode 29. 29 is an odd number, except when you add all the digits together, it's not quite an odd number if you keep going. Anyway, I'm in an odd location, so I ran into an interesting article yesterday called 19 Odd Things. 19 Odd Things About America That America Hasn't Realized. I wouldn't say looking at it that we haven't realized some of this stuff. We have, to a point, but some of it is interesting to point out. So I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to pull out some of the ones that I thought were most interesting. The first one on the list is actually the tipping economy, which I had actually looked at because I was thinking like the whole economy and tipping and whatever. But anyway, no, it's about the tipping economy of our tipping waiters, waitresses, etc., where, like they point out in France, they actually have a reminder that you don't tip people there. So it's an interesting thing. I know a friend of mine came from England and she just would get so annoyed with our tipping culture. She's like, well, why don't you guys just pay people a decent wage? I guess that's what they do in other places. It's a novel idea. I hope that's what they do in other places. I don't think they're trying to deny people money and a life. The second thing is the backwards date format, which I kind of think is interesting. Weirdly enough, I was just working with this last night with a system that I was in where you have to enter the date European, but then it switches to American, which I think is weird. It's like, well, whatever. But it's kind of interesting that we put the month, like we have to remind ourselves that it's the month first instead of the date, where it's like, I usually get the month right. It's the date that I need to have access to more quickly. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm very curious about why we do things a little differently. And just, again, haven't studied the entire world to know exactly, like when you think of, you know, what countries drive on what side of the street, what's the difference there? Why do we have the difference? Do we just have to be different? The dates and obviously the metric system that we don't have, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, we just have to be complicated. I don't know what the deal is. Another one is an early dinner. So I know I hear other people go to other countries and they complain about this, that the dinner, they don't like the dinner late. And I guess according to this, and again, like I say, people who go to other countries and talk about this, that they don't like the dinner late because they don't want to go to bed with a full stomach. And I'm thinking about this thinking, this is what we've learned. And I think depending on how much one is eating, I probably prefer not to go to bed on a really full stomach. But I suppose what I'd love to do is travel to understand how people do eat. Because if we think of our health rules, you don't want to eat after 7 o'clock, right? If you go to bed at 10, 11 o'clock. So that's kind of what we go with. Is that the right thing to do or is it not? I've heard many medical professionals say eating before you go to bed, having something small, not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we tend to choose the wrong foods. We're not having a healthy food before we go to bed. We're having chips or sweets or whatever. So not nourishing ourselves before we go to bed. And so then I'm like, is this whole 7 o'clock thing, like, is this really wrong thinking if other countries are doing it and if their health is better? And are we in the wrong mindset? And then how much food do they eat for an evening meal? So do they eat like kings for breakfast and whatever the thing is, you eat a little less during the day, but you have your meal, your afternoon meal, your noon meal is your big meal. That's where you consume the second, you know, after your breakfast, which is kind of supposed to be the big meal. So you keep eating less throughout the day. So if your evening meal is a smaller portion, is that so problematic? I don't know. I'm fascinated with that. In that respect. Now, one person I can think of I know who didn't like eating their late meal in the country she was visiting, they had a lot of bread for supper and that didn't work for her digestionally at all. So maybe that doesn't work for everybody, or again, maybe it's just the food we choose. So I'm very interested in that concept. And if we are really doing things really differently, it again begs the question of why is that? Certainly, I don't like eating dinner too early in the evening because then I am hungry before I go to bed and not always doing something about it, which I guess is kind of okay. But I am just really curious of what are the different health effects. We hear a lot about the health effects of our country and eating and what we should and shouldn't do. But I'm curious about other countries. a subject worth studying, I suppose. One of the things I didn't know was ads for legal services. Hadn't really thought about it, I guess, but in the US, of course, we have tons of ads for legal services all over the place, billboards, commercials, et cetera, et cetera. In other countries, apparently, and in Europe, they don't do this. They don't apparently have advertising for legal services. Like, this feels inappropriate for them. If you need the help, you go find the help. It kind of, the whole point is avoiding the ambulance chaser thing. So that was interesting to me. I certainly have awareness that advertising in other countries is very different than here. I remember reading in, or hearing about in Australia that they educate kids on advertising, on how advertising works, like how they're trying to get into your brain, which I thought was really interesting. So you're helping the kids critically think about the advertisements that they're getting, which is kind of cool and not something we want to do here in America because we want to be able to loop into their brain and take over, right? I mean, that's kind of how that seems to work. Sales tax surprise. This is interesting. Again, I want to be more of a world traveler to experience this, but the point being is that we have prices on our tags, and then there's sales tax at the cash register. So it's sort of the surprise, here's how much this ends up being. Where apparently in other countries, and I'm trying to remember if this is true from the little outside of the US experiences that I have time in, but I don't have a lot of countries in, if what I remember about that, the point that they're making is they just put that on the tag. So you know what you're paying, right? You know when you walk out how much it is. And I think of sometimes, like hotel rooms. Just recently booked a hotel room and the tax is the kicker. And so it's painful when you get to the checkout because you're kind of like, oh, okay, it's going to be this much. And then you're like, holy guacamole. And I don't keep those rates in my head, nor do I ever want to. So I do appreciate sometimes when places will put, here's how much this is, and here's the extra fees. You know, and I don't know, like, I'm curious about like utilities and how their utility systems work, because I think of like water and some of the other utility bills that I pay where the actual usage is pretty minor, but it's the taxes that are the kicker there. I don't know if they do things different utility-wise or how that works, but very curious. They point out that the US has, you know, with our litigious society and warning labels on everything, which is, it is interesting when I hear other countries where they don't necessarily have things like railings or warning signs, which can be helpful if you're in a new area or a new space, you just don't know what might be coming your way, I guess. But then, you know, I'm thinking of equipment and things like that. We see things all the time that when we probably should look at a warning label just to remind us of the power of something or not to do something stupid. We probably don't pay attention, but it is kind of sometimes amazing to see some of the warning labels that have shown up. You're like, oh, I'd love to read the court case that made that happen. There's a couple more that I will point out. They're all food related, so they're kind of fun for me. One of them is free refills for anything that involves corn syrup, which is interesting. And I know I've heard people from other countries, as well as my own, because this is a beef that I have. As long as it's going to kill us, we can have as much free soda as we want. And it's a cost thing, and we should like notice this. You can have free refills on your Pepsi that is full of junk and corn syrup, which is a byproduct, basically a garbage that they decided to repurpose. If you get a sugary Pepsi, for instance, you do not get free refills. You get what's in that jar or in that bottle or can. And it's, again, other countries looking at it going, you know this isn't good for you, so you're over-consuming. What's that about? I think that's a pretty legit question that we all should be asking every day. We're so pleased to get free stuff in a country where we have more money, better living than everything else, that we do not even care how much it affects our health. A personal beef of mine. Kind of guilty of it myself. I grew up in this culture too, but it is that awareness of, hey, wait, maybe we should be critically thinking about this a little bit. Another one is the Super Size Me thing. We, of course, in the US are all about our supersizing, whether it's soda or food or whatever the case may be. And again, that's something that doesn't happen in other countries. It's typically more of a reasonable portion. So I understand. I know from, again, hearing people talk about some countries and and how many courses you have and all of this stuff. But it's usually when they talk about it, it's also, we had all of this food, but you had small little amounts and you appreciated what you ate. And it was a different experience than the American sort of shove it in and keep going kind of thing. And then the last I'll mention is easy cheese. I think the point that they kind of make is, you know, if you're coming from another country where they have really good cheeses, as we probably do here in the US, I'm sorry, I don't know. I enjoy good cheese, but I don't like know where it all comes from. I know where some of it comes from. I get that. I don't know what we have. You know, American cheese is typically not a woohoo, amazing quality cheese in our experience. But the point being, easy cheese. Like, you take these crackers and you put this substance that comes out of a, they say a hairspray bottle. I would argue it's a hair gel bottle, same kind of bottle. And you throw it on your food, your crackers, sometimes really good quality crackers. And there's just nothing in this thing that involves cheese or anything worthwhile. And yeah, I'm not a fan of easy cheese. I kind of like it, but I have a hard time with it because of just the whole, what am I consuming here? So looking at the American way from other people's perspective is always really interesting. And it's the other direction too. It's interesting looking at other cultures and trying to understand what's going on there. But I think so many of these things that they raise are very interesting questions. So if you're interested in the article, it's 19 odd things about America that Americans haven't realized, if you want to check it out and check out some of the other ones that I did not mention. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful morning and the rest of your day. Talk to you soon.